Welcome back to the Padre Island Podcast. We're ready for the fourth Sunday of Easter, April 26, 2026. This is Good Shepherd Sunday, and I bet you'll figure out why based on the Gospel passage. It's John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his sheep, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. That's absolutely true. The Lord has come that we might have life. Not death, but life, eternal life, if we believe in him. If we are open to his graces and receptive and cooperate with that in such a way that we are disposed to receive the gift of eternal life. Does that mean we need to be miserable every day in hopes of heaven as if this is some kind of cruel waiting room? No, there's joy and beauty and goodness here. And the Lord leads us there and helps us find it, and hopefully opens our eyes that we might see, and that might be even more abundant, these gifts, these blessings, as we continue along the path to heaven. Now, John chapter 10, this comes right after Jesus heals the blind man, and I'm not sure if, as John writes this with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure if that means it's just the next thing that happened, or if there's another reason why one chapter follows the next, why this is the topic. Immediately after, Jesus finds the blind man, and the blind man worships him. If so, then we could think of it as, you know, pivoting from this controversy of how this man born blind is able to see, in these Pharisees who just don't want to believe, are resistant to that. Instead of Jesus just, you know, having good news for blind people, the fact that he opens it up for the rest of us, you know, physically and spiritually, with our own gifts and limitations, that it's very much something available for all of us to find some good news here. And he uses the analogy of shepherd and sheep. So I'm like most of you, I don't really have any experience tending sheep, but it you know, you can figure some of the context out just from the context here, that the sheep know who their master is, and if that master is trustworthy. A thief, a robber, a thief or a robber, somebody that is trustworthy or not. And Jesus is here to tell us that he is trustworthy. And not just that he says it and we believe it, but he shows us. And through a series of words and actions and experiences, then hopefully each of us comes to believe that the Lord is trustworthy, that he provides, that he rescues us, that he leads us. And it's just this passage is just dripping with meaning along those lines. He's not jumping over the fence. He's the gate, the gatekeeper, the one to lead us to life, to pasture. That he's not indifferent or abusive or, you know, just kind of lazy. It's, there's structure and meaning, and it all matters. And it's a beautiful gift. And let us allow the time we go to Mass and our own prayer time to deepen our belief that the Lord is our shepherd. We are his sheep. And in our desires that he does provide, maybe not always in the exact way we wish, certainly not the timeline we wish, but if we're patient and if we just hold on and live in a state of grace, we have a lot of reason to hope that not only will God come through, but he will do so in ways that surprise us, in ways that are better than we even dreamed. And to notice times that that has come true in other instances, that can build our faith. Or seeing that come through in other people's life, that builds our faith too. Instead of being jealous, we rejoice with them, and we hope that God will provide good things for us too. But it's going to be different than the other person, and that's okay. Because there's a lot of factors, and something really joyful for one person may not matter at all to someone else. You know, I was at the archives, and a family had visited from west of Salina, and they just loved it. They loved all of the history and some of these records in terms of, like, not music records, but some of these documents, these pictures and these, you know, pages that, these files that help tell the story of a certain parish, whether one that used to be fully active and now merged with something else, or maybe a parish that still is very much active. Maybe a church that used to have a different church building, and they're curious about what that looks like. Or, you know, what year did this shift, and what was the reason? And what could that tell us about the present moment? You know, even saying that right now, it kind of sounds interesting. But normally, I just don't find the archives and some of that work to be quite as compelling as this family did. So it was nice to see that. Nice to see that they had that enthusiasm. There was a meaning attached to that. And, you know, for those of us who might get caught up in doing the same thing, it might be easy to overlook the significance of what we get to do every day and the responsibilities entrusted to us. And that can renew us in faith and in energy and give us a renewed sense of mission. And as we do so, it's all with the Lord Jesus leading us to green pastures. What does that mean? Well, being able to find what we need, food, drink, shelter, friendship, meaningful work. We can just continue to fill in the blank of what we're looking for, of what we desire. And these are things we try to work for, but they're also gifts. So there's a way that God is working through that, through our accomplishments, through our initiative, and through some of the fortunate things that happen. What about setbacks? What about unfortunate things that happen? What about those of you who are divorced, who maybe it doesn't resonate as much that the Lord has come to bring you life and for it to be abundant? Maybe that doesn't ring true at all, at least not at this moment. Or at least there's reason to doubt that. If that's the case, then, you know, we try to hold that together along with this message of truth that the Lord does lead us to pastures, the kind of pastures that we have difficulty finding ourselves. And it's so much better to hear his voice and to follow him. So for those with a setback, all the more reason to try to tune in to what is God asking of me today? What do I need to do next? How can I best glorify God? How can I continue to show up, even if I don't feel anything? Even if I'm resistant to the practice of the faith, this might be the time where true Sanctification is happening. And therefore, instead of running away or feeling sorry for yourself, maybe there's a way to rally, to be able to be in position to be supported, to tell your story, and to serve others who might be going through something similar. Okay, those of you in the marriage vocation, you know, I have a wedding here in a little bit. I'm recording this on a Saturday afternoon. And, you know, have you been to a big Catholic wedding? You know, just one where the church is full, where you just know that this couple is in love, and despite all of the reasons not to marry in the church, they're choosing to do this, to lean into that, to love the Lord who has saved them, who continues to save us, and that we get to respond in thanksgiving for what the Lord does for us. What better way to participate than to live according to God's call when it comes to our vocation? And if it's marriage, why not go all the way and say, instead of a courthouse or a catering hall, we're going to get married in a church. You know, this matters to us because we want this to be fully valid. We want it to be fruitful, licit, sacramental, like everything. Why would you do anything less than that? Answer, I guess, would be someone disagrees with the Catholic Church. Okay? Another answer might be, well, we just didn't know. You know, come on. Or another answer might be, well, it's just a little easier, you know, and we'll get around to it later. Yeah, I don't know. I think one thing that would help me avoid that is the fear of the Lord, but I know that's not always popular these days, to have a sense of punishment, a sense of consequences if we defy God's law when it comes to marriage. But if you think God's a teddy bear, then I guess you do whatever you want. But you know, there's other reasons too. It's because we seek to serve the Lord and to not allow the pressure of society to displace us from what's right, but to then resist society to say, I'm going to conform my mind and heart to God's design. And I'm seeing that design through scripture, through tradition, through the example and lives of the saints. Why would I discard that? That doesn't seem like it would be a very good idea. Certainly not proclaiming something on a large scale that would be worth following. But also on a subjective level, that there's something to be said about adhering to what the Lord offers us. Well, he offers it through human beings, through the church. Okay. But the Word was made flesh. Like, there's a intimate connection between Jesus and the church. So much so that when St. Paul was knocked down in Acts of the Apostles chapter 9, Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, Jesus ascended into heaven. How could Saul persecute Jesus? Well, because he's persecuting his church, and they're one, just as a husband and wife are one. So thinking of it like that, then, yes, you know, we are human beings. Yes, there is hierarchy and structure that sometimes can get corrupted, and we got to stay accountable, and we got to find ways to be reformed. At the same time, you can't just do what you want and say, well, that's a man-made thing. Well, it's God-inspired, but men and women over the centuries have connected to it. That doesn't make it man-made. It makes it much more than that. And if Jesus is fully God, fully man, then that's what I want to be part of. Part of the church and the laws of the church, which he has instituted, and which are worth preserving. So, we do, you know, try to be open-minded and make room for discussion and debate. At the same time, there are certain things off limits. So sometimes I run into people that just have a whole different mindset on marriage. And I know from the Old Testament, you don't mess with marriage. In terms of idolatry or polygamy or some other kind of sin, not going to work. That backfires every time. And we don't have to see that for ourselves to learn. We can learn from the mistakes of others, and from the collective wisdom that we see in the scriptures and in church history. Okay, back to our topic here. Well, I think that covers it. I don't know, let me just look a little bit more at this passage, see if there's anything else that we might want to say, any other remarks. The thief and the robber, I don't know what the difference is there, someone who takes the property of others. On the other hand, Jesus is furthest away from that. He has come to give us his life. Instead of taking, the Lord gives. And that's the model that we receive. That's the example that we are to follow. Let us seek to do so this week, continuing to celebrate Christ risen from the dead. And may those words that Jesus came to bring us life, to bring it more abundantly, may that be something that you really believe in and experience, for that to sink in, and for us to experience the fullness of life in his name, because these things are written. And these things in our life do happen, ultimately, to lead us to communion with God. I'm Father Peter, a priest in Abilene, Junction City, in Chapman, Kansas. Thank you for listening today. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.